Resolute Square.
There was also maintained what was called an enemies list, which was rather extensive and continually being updated.
Democrats want Republicans dead.
Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
The women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions.
On January 6th of 2021, you had tens of thousands of people peacefully protesting.
No, it's not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's not QAnon. It's real.
I'm Rick Wilson, and this is The Enemies List.
Hi, folks. I'm Rick Wilson, and welcome to The Enemies List. My guest today is Andra Watkins. She is a New York Times bestselling author who has written some absolutely terrific stories and things about her travels, things about her father that are all very compelling and wonderful. But she's writing something right now that I think you'll be very interested in. She is the author of a Substack called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. And I found this idea so interesting because Andra, you for the first time, I think you took it out of sort of the policy context. A lot of people look at Project 2025 and the ambitions of the next generation of Trump apparatchiks have, and you've made it a lot more personal for people. Talk to us a little bit about where your inspiration to do this came from and walk us through some of the things that you see Project 2025 having an impact on in people's everyday, like immediate lives, not just the sort of abstractions of, hey, the Christian nationalists are coming. Walk us through where you see it impacting people on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I grew up in Christian nationalism. I went to the church, a church and school that was one of the founding members of Jerry Falwell Sr.'s Moral Majority. So I was indoctrinated in that world.
The old brew.
Yeah. And was a very big Republican for a long time in my life as a result of that, because we were taught we had to be.
Sure.
And so I have drifted away from that, obviously, as have you, because of the direction the Republican Party's taken. But when I picked up Project 2025 and started reading it, I read the first few pages and I was appalled by comparing how the media was talking about it to what I was reading. Because I was finding hidden Bible verses everywhere and concepts that I was indoctrinated in Christian nationalism that were used in this language. And so I took several months to read this Christo-fascist manifesto, is what I call Project 2025, and marked it up to try to explain to people what they mean when they say things and how it will impact their lives. I can use pornography as an example, because on page 13, they talk about how all pornography should be outlawed and everyone who produces it and consumes it should be imprisoned, and any person who teaches it or offers it in their library should be labeled a registered sex offender. And when you and I talk about pornography, that means Pornhub, that means, you know, movies and books that that are very graphic sexually. But when they talk about pornography, they mean so much more than that. And that's where a lot of the book bans and things are coming from, because everything is pornography to them. If Mike Johnson thinks about sex when he looks at it, it's pornography.
And his son's phone gets an alert.
So when they say that, you have to understand who they mean they want to imprison. They want to imprison people who are homosexual, because Mike Johnson has called homosexuality pornography. You've got the school in Florida that banned the Statue of David because it's naked and it's pornography. Any art that has naked people in it is pornography. Any book, and I love to read a good smut romance novel, those are pornography because they have people who aren't married having very graphic sex in them. So you and I wouldn't consider those things pornography, but they do. So it's really important to understand what they mean when they say things so that we can interpret what that would mean for us individually, because we'd all be pornographers, according to them.
So I think there's part of this that is more insidious and darker, frankly, than people think, because there is a sort of twofold interpretation of Project 2025 and the overall effort that the Trump transition idea for another administration subsumes. The first is this sort of formalized Washington, New York media interpretation of Project 2025. And they're like, okay, it's just like the Heritage Foundation. They're just nerds. It's just a policy document. They've always done it since 1984. The original Heritage Mandate for Leadership 84 was a guidebook, and you know, it comes and goes. But this is a darker and more insidious thing. This is a representation, I think, because the other interpretation, which you've been leading on pushing out there, is that you have to understand this as part of the internal monologue of Christian nationalists, which is, I am in this world, but I am not of this world.
Right.
They believe that they live in a fallen world that they can perfect by eliminating all the things that they're afraid of.
Right. And I wrote about that, Christian nationalists and their urges, which they call sin, but I call urges because we all have them. And so their idea is to use their interpretation of the Bible as the backstop for all of our laws to control everyone's urges so that they're not tempted to fall and give in to their urges.
Support for Rick Wilson's The Enemies List comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/Wilson. That's odoo.com/Wilson. Odoo, modern management made simple. You know, Stuart Stevens, my colleague, he wrote a brilliant book called It Was All a Lie. And he really went through, you know, and I've written two books about the decline and fall of the Republican Party, and so has he. But he talks about like the original sin in a lot of this is this underlying racial tension that the party feels. But I think there is a bigger issue as well, or a comparable issue, or a parallel issue, that an awful lot of these people have struggled desperately since the 1960s with the fact that gay people are alive in the world, and the fact that human sexuality is this really complicated thing. And while I'm not arguing for, you know, yay, teach toddlers about trans issues or any of that stuff, they really have this vision that of a world that has never existed. That has never been. There has never been that world. There's never been the world where it was all, completely nothing but straight people as far as the eye can see. It's something in human genetics and human behavior that they would really like to erase. And I have two gay sisters. Okay, God love them. They're as I've joked before, their marriages lasted longer than mine did. But they've been together a long time, and they're in committed marriages. They and their partners love one another. Okay, and God bless them. But I think it also speaks to the weird death of the Libertarian Republican Party, because my position on it for decades now has been exactly what business of it is the government's on who gets married,
right?
Because this is where this is headed, and I don't think people understand this. They didn't say it explicitly in Project 2025, but they're going to roll back gay marriage in America.
They say it not explicitly.
Right. They sort of walk around it a little bit.
Right, but they repeatedly define marriage as one man married to one unrelated woman. They use that phrase repeatedly, and that's the only type of marriage that they recognize. So, and they trace that back to Adam and Eve. They made male and female because God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve got married, you know, and Adam and Steve cannot get married because God would have made it that way if he wanted it to be that way. So that's their rationale for all of that. They repeatedly hammer in Project 2025 how sex is binary. And that's all it is.
You know, it, as I've said before, I get, said this in a speech recently. I'm like, I honestly, as long as you are not involved with a minor or someone who is not capable of consent, I don't care.
Right.
Go have fun. Dress like a goddamn cat. I don't care. People do what people do. Who knows the secrets of the human heart? But it is interesting how much that this formerly libertarian party now wants to use the power of the state in every aspect of education, of government policy, of law enforcement, of all these areas where I think there are a meaningful number of Republicans still. It's not the majority, but a meaningful number of conservatives still, not the majority anymore, who do not believe that government needs to be that far up in their bedroom.
Well, I have some of those people reading my Substack, thankfully.
I did not expect
that, but I do have some libertarian-minded Republicans and independents reading it already.
They are out there. So I want to jump to the some of this stuff you've looked at as well under this on the economic ideas contained in Project 2025, which have gotten, I think, a shorter shrift in people talking about what it means and what it's going to do. Talk to us a little bit about where you see the economic impact of in people's lives of 2025.
Well, it's dumbfounding to me how people would see the Republican Party as being the party of the economy after reading this document, because I did a stint on the economy last week or the week before last. I'm a CPA. I don't practice anymore. But I just took people through several of the tax proposals that they make and demonstrated how they would have less money.
Right.
If, for example, Congress votes to make all of employer benefits that your employer pays for you not be non-taxable, which right now an employer can deduct them and you don't pay tax on that money. But if they had to pay you that money and then you had to pay tax on it, your income would decrease significantly. And I showed that in an example. Okay. And they don't talk about things that way. With the 2017 tax changes, they kept throwing out that you're going to get this extra money and you're going to have this
extra money. You mean the ones
money.
That were sunset and ended?
My husband and I paid more tax every year since 2017, so 2018, because they did away with so many deductions and changed things so profoundly. But they distract you with this little give me at the beginning, and people don't do the math to figure that out.
Right. Yeah, I think there is a big part of that people have, they interpreted the 2017 tax cut as something that it was not.
Right.
I wrote about this in my first book. I had a conversation with one of the handful of people who were literally the guys in Mitch McConnell's outer office from the lobbying community writing the tax bill. And this is 2017. And I still had hopes that somehow, some way, conservative policy could be, you know, free market policies could somehow be snuck past Trump or that there would be something. And I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, buddy, tell me there's some like uplift for middle class taxpayers here. Just tell me there's anything in here. He goes, no, we're fucking them.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I don't work for middle class taxpayers. I work for the private equity industry. That's who we're protecting here. And those cuts are permanent. And the temporary tax cuts for American voters that were trivial, by the way, you know, $650 a year or whatever it was for the average taxpayer, this entire, and you know, as an ex-Republican, the indoctrination you had to overcome was on the Christian nationalist side. The indoctrination I had to overcome was on the idea that the Republican Party was a free market party and
right.
that it believed in entrepreneurship and it believed in economic uplift for middle class.
I believed that for a long time too.
Yeah, it really was something that this sort of, you know, crony capitalism was much more definitional in the execution than in rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a big irony all the time. It's like, You know, the idiots who actually believed this were the cynical consultant class, because I actually believed it. I did. I actually believed it. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is one more thing where, you know, the folks at Heritage and the folks that are crafting this stuff, they do not care. They do not care how badly screwed average taxpayers get. They care that the donor folks who are the, you know, the people that are at the Heritage Roundtable giving them $150,000 or $250,000 mm-hmm. or $1 million to operate every year, they care that those people are taken care of. That Donald Trump cares about the people who are in that room in Mar-a-Lago giving him $25 million the other night. That's what he cares about. And by the way, folks, just as a quick aside, he did not raise $50 million. It was a lie. Watch what happens when the filings come out. It was a lie. I promise you, they double counted that money. I know all the tricks. Anyway, going back to 2025 and going back to how these people are going to enforce all these things they want to do, a big part of it, and implement and enforce it, a big part of it is that they want to, and look, folks, before I say this, I want you to understand, I have been in the federal government. I have served in a position in the federal government. I understand how completely bureaucratic, inefficient, dilatory, directionless, cluttered, sclerotic the federal government is. There are plenty of ways I would personally reform a lot of things that it does. But what they want to do under Schedule F and Project 2025 is to burn down anybody in the federal government who isn't an avowed adherent to Trump and this plan. Talk to us a little bit about where you see that headed. I mean, I know Biden did a little bit this week to sort of try to protect the...
Well, but if the rule of law doesn't matter, then so what? You know, if they don't care what the Constitution says, then so what? It doesn't really matter what Biden did this week. It's great, but it's not going to matter to people who don't care.
Correct.
So, you know, they complain about the deep state all the time, but they want to create a deep state and install people who are totally loyal to them and to the conservative cause as they're envisioning it. So any career civil servant who does not go along with that or who they think won't go along with that will be fired. And they want to get rid of whole branches of the government because of this. I mean, I shouted out to my husband, and you live in Florida, so you'll have the same reaction I did. I live in South Carolina. They want to get rid of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the National Hurricane Center all over Sharpiegate, but they just want to totally get rid of it.
Right. And I'm just going to, and again, I'm sorry to take so many discursive moments today, folks. I'm going to tell you something, America. I am a pilot. Aside from politics and writing and my family, I love flying more than almost anything else. I do not for a moment believe that getting rid of the National Oceanic Administration, which provides aviation and maritime information, I do not for a moment believe that paying some vendor who's a friend of Trump's to do this is going to do a better job or protect Americans. And it is about Sharpiegate. It is about wanting to punish the people that said that Trump was you know, a madman for using the Sharpie on the map, pretending the hurricane wasn't going somewhere that it was. But that idea that you're going to get rid of the Department of Education, get rid of the Department of Commerce, get rid of the of NOAA, get rid of, you know, any number of things, there is a libertarian wet dream there that a lot of people, you know, sort of in a drawing room kind of or college freshman dorm room kind of way look at. But I don't think they've weighed any of the implications of this.
I don't think they care. As long as their donors make more money, right, and give more money to them, I don't think they care what the implications are for you or me.
What's the thing that people are not paying enough attention to inside Project 2025 that you've thought about, that you haven't put out there as much yet? I know that we talked a lot about the LGBT stuff and about the education stuff. What else is in there people haven't been thinking about yet?
I haven't written a lot about this yet, but I will. I jump around every week to try to give people a different piece of it, a different flavor every week.
Right.
Religious indoctrination for welfare assistance. and punishment.
Say more about that.
Their goal is to make religious indoctrination contingent upon getting help or assistance. If you are on unemployment, if you need food assistance, if you need housing assistance, they want to use the model that's used around the South a lot, quite frankly, now, of forcing people, like a woman has a baby she can't afford because Mississippi forced her to.
Right.
So she goes to get help and they say, well, we'll be happy to help you, but you have to go to this Bible study every week to get to qualify to earn your diapers for your baby. And you have to meet with this counselor who has no training. They're just going to read the Bible with you and pray and talk about the decisions that you made that caused you to be in this situation. And we're going to talk about how you can change your life to live a more productive and godly life. So then we'll give you housing, we'll give you food coupons. That's already happening in so many places in America, but their vision is to make all welfare that.
Well, I want to say this is a fairly terrifying approach, I think, to governance. And nothing in this so far has been, nothing in the revelations of 2025 so far, in my mind, have been. There's not a lot of upside in the way this is being planned and presented. And I have said to my friends a lot, remember, Republicans always tell you everything they're going to do.
Exactly.
When my Democratic friends were absolutely shocked and horrified when the Dobbs decision came down, my reaction was a little bit jerky, honestly. I was like, the hell did you think was going to happen? They told you for 45 years they were going to do this. They told you how they were going to do this. They're going to do a long march through the courts. They're going to put conservative judges on every level of the bench, and they're going to do this. They told you over and over and over and over and over again. And I think that lesson needs to be learned with a lot of people who are looking at Project 2025. They should not look at it as aspirational for the Republicans. They should look at it as a roadmap that they're going to follow and that no one is going to escape.
And you can already see that in a state like Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they've implemented so much of Project 2025 in the state of Tennessee that I would call it a Christo-fascist state now. It's not a democracy anymore there. And so you can look around red states and see that this is not aspirational. They use the mm-hmm. same exact language that they use in Project 2025 in the bills that they propose and in the legislation that they're passing.
There are a lot of laboratory states for this stuff. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee is one. Florida is another. Alabama is another. Mississippi is another. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part about it is, it does start to collide with reality. It does start to collide with you know, how things actually work in the world. But if you have a Trump administration part two, you know, as you said, if the rule of law doesn't matter, and that for them it does not matter, mm-hmm. you're going to end up being on the short end of this. Mm-hmm. So, well, Andrew Watkins, your Substack, How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life, is terrific.
Thank you.
Encourage my folks to follow it and have a look at it, and to subscribe. It's a really interesting and tight insight into where a lot of people with some very bad intentions are headed. So thank you so much for coming on the Enemies List today. Tell people where they can find you on social media.
I am on Instagram at my name, Andrew Watkins. That's where I spend most of my time other than Substack.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Thanks again for listening to The Enemies List. If you have any comments, questions, or if there's someone you'd like to hear on the podcast, hit me up on Twitter at TheRickWilson. Thanks again for the wonderful support you've shown the pod. We're growing fast. It really helps if you will share this with your friends, your family, and anyone else who, like us, is trying to save democracy. While you're at it, if you could rate and review the podcast, I would be very much appreciative. I know this is the sort of thing you've heard a billion times. Please rate, review, like, blah, blah, blah. But you need to do it. It really does help us a lot. We are slaves to the algorithm, my friends. And if you do this, it will help get the pod out further. Anyway, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, whatever you do, stay off the list.